Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, March 2nd. Happy Resurrection Day. This week I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, just to mix it up a little bit. If you're tracking the flow of what we're doing, we're going through the Old Testament. It's a fast track, but just recently we've been in the life of David and now in the life of Solomon. So today we're going to read a scripture from the Psalms that highlights the beauty of being in God's tabernacle or God's temple. And you'll remember that we learned that Solomon was the one who built the temple for the Lord. Then we'll go over to the book of Matthew, and we're making our way through Matthew. And as is our practice, we'll read from the second proverb today because it is the second day of the month. So beginning with Psalm 84, I'll read for us verses 1 through 4. The title in my Bible says, "The Blessedness of Dwelling in the House of the Lord." And in the Student Study Bible, the note is, "Home, sweet home." I love that image of thinking of being in God's presence as being at home. To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. And now let's move over to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. And in my study Bible, it has this note. The issue of rank and status loomed large for the disciples, who still thought Jesus would remove Rome's yoke and bring an earthly kingdom that would restore Israel to prominence, a kingdom in which the disciples expected to be given high-profile positions. But the kingdom of heaven is spiritual, not political, and its standards are opposite of an earthly kingdom's. Starting in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this one in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of the little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire. And now from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, this is verses 16 and 17, but I can give you the context that it's talking about when wisdom enters your heart. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word. here in Matthew 18, Jesus can give them a lecture about what it means to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, but instead, he brings a little child as an object lesson before them. And as the study Bible says, when people are filled with themselves, they cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. Rather, look at verse 4, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so may that picture of us just coming to the Lord as children, wanting to serve him, wanting to please him, and trusting in him, be one that stays with us today. We have a new memory verse today. Let's go over last week's verse though. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you know the reference? That's right, Matthew 5:44. This week's memory verse is from Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Will you pray with me? Lord, would you open our lips so our mouths may declare your praise? We come today with intercessions for our day and the tasks that lie ahead. Help us to keep our eyes on you and the wonder of being in your presence. We pray, Lord, for the world and its needs. Oftentimes, we get so distracted by things that don't matter. Give us your vision for the world and how we can be conduits of your love and grace. And we pray for our church and the church global and for the life of the church that we might be a fragrant offering for you. We pray today for our local government and our community leaders and all who provide local services, our firemen, our police officers, those who do the trash pickup. We thank you, Lord, for those who work with the young and those who work with the elderly. We pray over our schools and colleges and universities. And we ask, Lord, your watch care over each of these persons. Now, Lord, we want to ask for those on our prayer list who need a healing touch. Silently, we each lift their names to you. Help us to go forward, Lord, in the joy of your resurrection and in the power of your Holy Spirit, believing in the promises that we are seated at the right hand of God the Father with you. And we pray all of this in your name and for your sake. Amen.